Good evening. We have a timeful evening. We want to make sure we leave time for questions and comments. Productive discussion tonight. I'm John Joy. I'm mostly you. I represent the Dairy on the Board of Supervisors. And thank you all for coming. This is being co-sponsored by our office, by the Elk Springs Advisory Council, and Mark Pendergrass, the chair, will be making a few comments in a bit. And also, I want to thank the other co-sponsor, the Elk Springs Chamber, and Cowan is here from the Elk Springs Chamber. So, the idea is to have a brief presentation about where things stand about the whole process that has been going on for several years on top of the goal of trying to finalize the downtown parentheses. Before I do that, let me just make whatever group of people is here in Elk Springs, I was good to make a couple of other quick remarks. One is the Elk Springs Cleanup Day, which we're working on establishing on a regular basis. It's Saturday, November 4th from 8:30 to 11. And we have arranged for dumpsters, and there's information there about it, and other places where you can take material as well. So just to publicize that. And there's a lot going on in the community, and one comment I want to make is like the public always asking whenever I'm at an event about the Stockton Hospital, you know, it's an issue that all of us are very much concerned about. We don't want that hospital in an emergency room to close. County, our health department, my office, has been working with Dr. Hospital, with the state, and we've come up with a plan. We'll go to our board of supervisors on Tuesday. Their board already approved it to come up with a plan to keep that hospital open. It's just management structure there. And so we're optimistic. If that emergency room were closed, it would be a critical shortage of emergency room beds. So the health department is setting on that already. We're seeing longer ambulance transport times. So with that, just briefly, and I'll turn it over to Barbara. You know, some of you may remember a number of years ago, the Elk Springs Chamber of Unique Businesses on the Dam Road, you know, talked about what can we do to create an environment to improve business here. You know, how can we make this area more vital? So there was an effort that started legislative planning. That moved to another effort and added most of the history of that at some of our pre-development departments. There's also another effort going on in the county about how to sort of incorporate health components into good land use planning and making communities healthy and pedestrian friendly and bicycle friendly and those kinds of things. And I see Nancy Bear from our county health department, who's been leading a lot of this effort as well. So another area of convergence on all these things. And I want to acknowledge there's been a lot of work done by a lot of people. There were some direct lots of public meetings. I mean, everybody in this one is really important on this. And one of the reasons why we sort of stopped also to sort of look at things is to do more traffic studies. And you're going to see, you know, some of the results of that. Because the purpose here, you know, there is how do you improve downtown El Segrande, but how do you also address traffic issues? So that's a big issue in El Segrande. That's part of it. So that's just, you know, some background. You know, later on, I'll be facilitating our questions and answers and comments. There'll be a presentation by talk about the discussion for the Elk Springs Advisory Council. Pat will go through a presentation about sort of some suggested changes that are being made to the general plan. And I want you to know that they're very specific. They're like 5 minutes. And we'll cover each of those five. And there's a lot of other things that could get discussed in the future as part of another process. But I think the five specific things and those are the things that we really want to focus on. And then we'll talk about comments and questions and then I'll get to the end. So, Barbara.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce some of the members that are present that belong to the Elk Springs Municipal Advisory Council. We have Erica Penny, who is not present, another she is vice chair, We have Tom Owens, who is our secretary. We have Hope Scott, who is our treasurer. I don't believe I've seen both. We have Marilyn Melander, Wendy Gossman, and Charles Marino, and then we have first alternate Susan Swift. And our second alternate position is open. Three of the regular members' terms expire at the end of December, and Supervisor Joyen is requesting that dedicated residents interested in serving on the council contact his office. There is a flyer on the street of open. The planning process started years ago with the Elsa Brand and Chamber of Commerce initiating a study and holding threat meetings to gain input from the community. The Elsa Brand Municipal Advisory Council, referred to as the MAC, has put in place a leadership role in the planning process and again capturing input from the community. The MAC will plan a land use subcommittee consisting of three members, Erica Payne is chair, member Wendy Gossinger, and I am also a member. The subcommittee has been meeting at least once a month for a number of months, and these meetings were open to the public, and their attendance and input was encouraged and is encouraged. The subcommittee has been reviewing the proposed general plan recommendations. Physically viewing Aiken Way and San Pablo Dam Road in its current state and comparing the current zoning and actual zoning use of the sites to the zoning information proposed in the general plan amendment. The MAC Land Use Subcommittee brought their recommendations back to the full MAC and for the council to review and their input. The recommendations from the Land Use Subcommittee were discussed in several regular MAC meetings. In addition, the MAC held a special proposed general plan amendment meeting on August 21st to brainstorm and to capture more information from the MAC members and from the community. The recommendations from the Land Use Subcommittee were modified and voted on by the MAC. The MAC approved the following proposed general plan amendments, and I think we have a slide up here as a recommended general plan policies for Elsa Brande area. Recommended general plan policies for all of the Elsa Brande area.
Right, blue paper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
By the way, just so you know, there's a survey form that has five different proposed changes, and if you want to encourage you to go through, you're welcome to, at the end, either now or later, fill out what your position is or consider.
Are you on that slide? Summary. So we'll get to the summary of the municipal advisory council recommendations about service staff, and we'll go back to the general plan amendment. In the consideration of the general plan amendment proposed to the Elsa Brande Municipal Advisory Council, the Elsa Brande MAC made the following specific recommendations for the San Pablo Dam Road. Focus should be primarily commercial, with the addition of residential units above storefront allows for businesses, and only when sufficient residential parking and safe access can be accommodated. Limit driveways entering the San Pablo Dam Road by encouraging consolidation of parcels and other measures as needed. Develop downtown square pedestrian plaza in the blocks near the Mechanics Bank, with through traffic around the block for better circulation. Develop green space on the creek side of the dam road. Identify undeveloped areas to preserve as open space or develop for recreational use. Widen sidewalks. Make the road safely passable for bicycles and consider the addition of pedestrian passages that do not interfere with the dam road traffic. Consolidate parking and parking lots and include parking lot near plaza. Aiken Way near Boys and Girls Club And by the way, there's maps up here that will show the employers. Encourage good uses. Consider placement of a community center in this area. Develop a public plaza or park and increase access. Where mixed use is designated, allow for retail, office space, and residential. Restrict residential development to a maximum of 8 units per acre. On 18 Way General, allow for development of secondary downtown buildings, meaning where the mobile home park is located and leading to the library. In the area, focus on commercial ground floors with ability to develop residential units above. Restrict multifamily residential to a maximum of 8 units per acre. And for the rest of 18 Way, allow commercial, mixed-use, retail, office, residential, as well as single-family attached or detached. Restrict building heights to 27 feet. Consider community centers in this area. There is a setback along the 18 Way corridor to facilitate the feeling of distinct areas. Encourage adequate parking situated in the rear of a building. In the triangle area, that's down by Valley View, that encourages primary commercial use, allow commercial and limited mixed use with commercial ground floor. Where mixed use is allocated, encourage consolidation of lots and ensure that driveways do not use 18 Way. Have a two-story limit on buildings. And then you can have the recommended general plan policies for the El Grande area. This is all of the area. And the other was just the APM and the checkbox and the quarter, but also to the APM. The recommended general plan policies for El Grande area. In August 2006, the El Grande Municipal Advisory Council adopted the following statement about our community. The council requested that the county incorporate this language into the general plan amendment. The El Grande is a diverse and beautiful community which cherishes its unique character, especially its scenic beauty, open space, and local charm. The community is dedicated to protecting and enhancing residents' quality of life. It's also a changing community faced with the pressures of the area urbanization and regional traffic congestion, and pressures on human services. The general plan policies must affirm the values of the community and must be a blueprint for achieving a wider community in the years ahead. Growth and revitalization planning efforts involve parcels in the Alta Grande Valley, and in particular those affecting unincorporated areas of Alta Grande, shall take these values and principles into consideration before approving or endorsing changes in the county general plan or, in particular, development or redevelopment proposals. Then we are going on to guiding principles, and I think all of you have the handouts, and the guiding principles that will govern that are listed. Here are items listed under transport, transportation and traffic, under business and services, under housing, under recreation, under landscape, and in the end it says, if increases in housing units and residential density are to be successful, mechanisms must be in place to increase the use of non-motorized modes of transportation, bicycle roads, walking paths to transit, and improved bus stops and routes to travel are imperative for our community if we are to avoid the traffic jam and persistence in other communities in our region. Thank you.
Again, these were these were discussions of the Supervisory Council, and all of these are not necessarily all going to be in the general plan at this time. It's important to know these are, this is what came out of the MAPS process, and I think one of the things you'd want to do is under number five later on, state some of your support or opposed to general to the document. It may be parts of this that you like more than others, so you can comment on that.
I just wanted to say there's one other handout which was land use business types from Curry, and we have a handout on that. Thank you.
So at this time, Patrick Earl, who's in the office department, is going to really focus on what the proposed changes that are being recommended and go a bit into the process.
All right, well, I tend to cover five key points. First, background on the general plan and zoning, because it's going to be a condensed version of planning number one. Secondly, I'm going to go over just very briefly on recent activities related to the general plan in the downtown Elsinore area. Also, I'm going to cover some of the post-Charette activities. Many of you participated in the Charette that was conducted in early 2004. I'm going to describe what we've been doing since then. And then fourth, I'm going to describe the five essential components of what is emerging as part of general plan proposal. And then finally, fifth, I'm going to go over the next steps and timeline to bring this forward. All right, general plan and zoning. What is general plan? What is zoning? What is the process to change general plan or zoning? And what are the current general plan policies and zoning regulations for San Pablo Dam Road and Appian Way? The general plan. A plan document is required by California law. Every jurisdiction in the state of California, city or county, must have a general plan. It describes a vision for a community's future physical development. It is essentially a constitution for making land use decisions. It typically covers a 20 to 30 year time period and contains both broad general goals as well as very specific policies. It must be comprehensive, and there are seven mandatory elements from general plan as required by state law. Now, zoning. Many people mix the two terms together, planning and zoning, and it's important to distinguish between the difference. Zoning is a division of community into districts and the application of special regulations for each district. Zoning regulations are divided into two classes. The first is physical standards for buildings. That includes height and bulk, setbacks, minimum lot size, etc. And the second part of the regulation deals with uses. The range or classification of allowed uses and permitted uses within that district. Zoning should be consistent with the general plan. Zoning is implementing the general plan according to California law. Okay. Procedurally, there are certain steps we must follow when we change the general plan or change zoning. Both are under California law considered to be legislative acts. That means that ultimately the Board of Supervisors must approve a change to the general plan or to change zoning. The Planning Commission has a very direct role. They are supposed to forward a recommendation on any proposed change to the general plan or to reestablish or change zoning in a specific area. In addition, we are required to follow what is called the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA for short. That is the state law that establishes the requirements to review the physical effects of any proposed projects on the environment. So we are required to follow CEQA, and we are obligated to do an environmental review for any proposed change to the general plan or change the zoning. Alright, so what are the current general plan policies for San Pablo Dam Road and Appian Way? Well, they come in three categories. First, there's the land use designations for each corridor that's on the land use element map of the general plan. And where Supervisor Joy is standing on his right is a map that shows you the general plan, the land use map for the El Segundo area. That's a snapshot of the countywide land use zoning map. We have it as a handout. It's a pretty small one, and it It's going to strain your eyes, but if you have a chance to get and take a look at it closely, you can see it establishes the land use designations for various properties along St. Helena rather than Avenue Road.
And if I could just point out, as an example, if you look at and Tower Dam Road, which is like the current, where the current general plan designation is, between Appian Way and El Portal, you see it's all red here, the area that's in red.
And that's commercial.
Which is commercial. So that's because, and if you look at Appian Way, you'll see some red and some brown, and the brown is multifamily residential low, red is commercial, there's a light circle, which is office. So this is the current designation today.
The other thing to bear in mind is in a handout, there's an excerpt of the general plan. It was on the table as you came in. It has a cover on and it's an excerpt on it. There are what's called special concern area policies for each of the corridors. Those are very specific as to policies that relate to either Appian Way or St. Catherine Road. And we'll get into that in a little bit later. And then finally, the third area that affects this consideration of general plan change is our transportation circulation element. That, by the way, is an element that's required by state law. We must have a transportation circulation element. Within it is a roadway network map. And that's a map the county uses for determining the ultimate right-of-way, the ultimate lane configuration for roads in the county. Thank you so much. This is a schematic view of the lane installment map. All right, St. Valentine Road is supervised on the hill. It's predominantly commercial, that's the first CO application. Commercial allows for a broad range of commercial uses. Cannot combine with residential. Currently, the commercial designation does not allow you to mix residential within that area. For something very important that, again, a lot of people do not sometimes fully understand, and that is the issue of consistency. When you have a zoning district, it must be consistent with that general plan land use designation. So, the RB, NB, CB, and C zoning districts are consistent with CO, the commercial land use
designation.
They want to pay what those mean. Yes, the RB is retail business district, NB is neighborhood business district, and C is general commercial. Those are zoning districts that you will see up and down San Pablo Dam Road and Appian Way. And those are the districts that actually regulate the uses and structures within that specific defined area. On Appian Way, we have a variety of general plan designations, including commercial, single family residential, multifamily residential, and other semi-residential. And our various indicators include the section of Appian Way. Again, RV, retail business, NP, neighborhood business, N12, that stands for multiple family residential, N12 refers to multiple family residential zoning district that allows for 12 units to the acre, N17 stands for 17 units to the acre, 29, that's 29 units to the acre, and T1. T1 is a special zoning district called the Planned Unit Development District. That is a special zoning district that the county uses to tailor zoning for a specific site. These zoning districts that I described before that are zoning districts that we use throughout the county. But the P1, if you think about it, is a customized zoning district for that specific site. Okay, these are figures that are in the general plan, and they unfortunately don't come through very well on the slide, but figure 3-6 is an example. It's a copy of your handout. It's what I was talking about is the special concern area. That's just graphically representing the special concern area for St. Helena. And those are the official policies for that section of the general plan that is defined in the general plan. And there's also one for and I won't go through that one because it's a graphic mention, I'll come through very well. Again, this is my channel is the zoning map. This is our official zoning map from our zoning atlas. it shows you actually on a pathing way. One thing to understand is a general plan land use map is diagrammatic. However, the zoning map, you'll see a signature block down there, Dennis Berry, that's my boss, the community development director. The zoning district is actually more of a legal document. It establishes a distinct legally described district. And so it is more precise. And it's intended to be more precise in terms of defining its boundaries for this district. I just stopped over Camp Public Camera, but we go back to general plan to review activities for else project. Okay, since 2000, there's been lots of activity. Namely, the first one would be the 9483 Task Force, the Downtown Transportation Land Plan, which was started in 2000 and concluded in December of 2001. And then following that, the Board of Supervisors initiated a general plan amendment study in consideration of a redevelopment project in 2002. That process went from 2002 to 2003. And then in 2003 to 2004, we conducted a very comprehensive plan strip that covered both corridors, State Highway Road and Athens Way. And the El Chabania map has been reviewing proposed general plan changes from 2005 up to the present day of 2006. All right, the 9483 Task Force, that was the effort that was principally initiated by the Chamber of Commerce, aimed at commercial revitalization. The task force was organized and comprised of a cross-section of the community. It prepared the downtown transportation land use plan and was intended to be a bold vision. The plan focused only on San Pablo Dam Road revitalization. And it, the key features of that plan included the concept of creating a village center around mainly the mechanics bank. It also called for a new land use pattern, establishment of mixed-use development, more residential development on San Pablo Dam Road. It called for the establishment of urban design guidelines for San Pablo Dam Road. It called for the reconfiguration of the roadway network, namely that the proposed, the planned San Pablo Dam Road bypass public be reconfigured to be a smaller system. It called for improvements to pedestrian and bicycle circulation. They call for adding new public parking lots, and they call for adding open space parks, creekside linear park, and a park plaza. When that plan was submitted to the Board of Supervisors in early 2002, January, the Board directed that we initiate the general plan amendment review process with the idea of taking that downtown transportation land use plan and using that as the backbone for the starting point for consideration for a change to the general plan for San Pablo Dam Road. They also directed that we look at Avenue Way. In 2002 to 2003, as required by law, we formed a project area committee and started the process looking at a redevelopment plan. In March of 2003, we released a draft EIR that covered both the general plan amendment proposal and a redevelopment plan. The redevelopment project is on hold pending consensus on land use circulation issues through the general plan amendment study process. In early 2004, January and March, we conducted a comprehensive planning charrette. Many of you I know participated in that process because I recognize some of the faces. In a nutshell, what he called for, the consensus, the community supported commercial revitalization, there was a general acknowledgement that there needed to be something to revitalize the commercial areas of El Sponte. There was support for more clear design and development standards. There were many points that people raised about inconsistency about how standards are applied for buildings within San Pablo Dam Road and Athens Way. They wanted very clear standards for the future development. There was general support for the concept of mixed-use development, but there were different views on the location of where that mixed-use development should go, and certainly also some real concerns about the density, how many units per acre, and so in that regard, there was not a clear consensus, but overall, the concept of establishing mixed-use development was supported through the SHRED process. Again, just as with the downtown transportation land use plan, the participants of the Shred said that they wanted to see more park, open space, and trails. And lots of ideas were kicked around through the Shred process. There was support for revising the planned roadway network, and the emphasis that was clearly communicated to the Shred was that the emphasis should be on internal circulation, improving circulation for the area on St. Cavill Dam Road and Appian Way, and basically that while through traffic is important to handle, the emphasis should be on the internal circulation for the corridors. There is also a call for improving the pedestrian and bicycle environment, and certainly a call for developing more off-street parking for the San Temple Dam Road commercial area. Post-shred activities. Okay. Now, when you take a look at the downtown transportation land use plan and some of the ideas that emerged from the shred process, they don't come together necessarily. They have some common elements, but there are lots of things where they are not consistent. And so we've had to look at the two and try to figure out how you can bring the basic components together and respect the basic ideas and principles that came out of that. We've also conducted a number of supplemental traffic and engineering studies looking at specific questions that emerge through both processes, namely looking at the traffic volumes on San Pablo Dam Road and looking at what would be the effect if we did not build the San Pablo Dam Road bypass couplet. What would be the effect on traffic in El Sobrante. We've also looked at the cost associated with building San Pablo Dam Road bypass couplet, since it hadn't been really thoroughly investigated in well over 20 years. So our Public Works Department came up with some newer cost estimates. And then during this period, the El Sobrante Municipal Advisory Council has been reviewing various concepts related to a general plan proposal, and tonight you've heard some of the recommendations. Okay, so moving forward, what is basically a common theme are these 5 points. There is a desire to establish a new mixed-use designation, and I want to emphasize that what the county does with mixed-use development is a little bit different than several jurisdictions throughout the Bay Area. Principally, when we establish a mixed-use designation, it is permissive, it allows for the mixing on one site of commercial with residential. It does not require it. It allows it to happen, it does not require it. There is also a need to update the special concern area policies for San Pablo Dam Road and Appian Way. Clearly, if you're going to make some changes, you've got to update those policies. And I just want to sort of point you to a kind of historic map at the back of the room here. This patterned map here you see is the general plan that was adopted for El Sobrante in August of 1980, so 26 years old. That plan is basically what you see currently in the county general plan. Not much has changed from that plan that was adopted 26 years ago. So if there's going to be a change in the general plan, we need to look at those special concern areas and update them. There was also a recommendation that was moved forward that was established in what was called Q1 zoning. I touched upon that earlier. If you're going to create mixed-use designations, you don't have a common zoning district that matches. You need to create and customize a new zoning district that actually implements the policies that are intended under the mixed-use designation. We've done this elsewhere in the county. A good example would be in Vergeo, where they've established a very comprehensive Q1 planned unit development district for much of El Sobrante. And then finally, the fifth piece of a change to consider is the updates to the roadway network. This would call for removing the San Pablo Dam Road bypass couple and then keeping Appian Way as present configuration, which is two lane and the center left turn lane. And this is upon review of the traffic studies, the engineering studies, looking at what it would take the build a bypass couplet and also to widen Catherine Way to the ultimate roadway, and all four currently in the general plan.
Just to, before you move on, I think it's important to say, just to go back and so the folks know that the current general plan is, that you're suggesting you change, go back to the last slide of that. The current general plan has this policy, I guess it was from 1965. Can you go back to the
previous? Yeah, just a few minutes.
Okay. There's a, under number five, there's, I think it was put in the general plan back in 1965 or so, and it calls for creating a parallel roadway.
Well, I can pull up the image from the 75
okay.
traffic.
And for a parallel roadway to get to increase the capacity of the Jacko Dam Road by building a parallel street, and you'll see it. So the suggestion is to take that out of the general plan so it's not realistic anymore. This home is where it is now, so it would be taken out. No one's ever suggested building it, but that's still a policy in the general plan, so the suggestion is taking that out. On Appian Way, the current policy on Appian Way in the general plan, Patrick, is?
Well, Appian Way calls for ultimately 400 solutions from San Capel Dam Road all the way up to the United States.
So the proposal to change the general plan and say it's only going to be two. So right now, you know, the general plan said it could be expanded to widen the four lane. The proposal to say no, we're going to keep it at two. Those are two traffic circulation issues.
This is actually a kind of a sort. This image here is taken from a 1975 traffic study, which was really the basis upon which the bypass couplet was identified.
Well, here's San Pablo Dam Road. Here was this composed couplet. Here's Elmer South, right? So the couplet would have been here, coming back in over by Appian Way, but we only take this proposed plan out.
Yeah. The fact that we're there, we never use it.
We just come back to our timeline.
And then the other is to make sure that the Appian Way topic is
finished.
Yes, well, the plan is called, yeah, you would have had it that right away and all this.
No. Somehow that's showing on here.
Yeah, one question to clarify. What you have here, let me make sure it's clear. These here, to be clear to everyone, these documents here. I explain what just everyone knows what this document.
Okay, that's an excerpt from the county general plan. So this is the policies that currently exist in Palo Dam Road.
Right. And these are not the proposed policies, these are existing policies.
Those are the existing policies.
Okay, thank you, John.
Yeah.
John, is there going to be a median on the Dam Road?
You know, we're going to have to open up this question. So
okay.
Some questions, I thought we'd have to do with presentation, then we can turn it over to questions.
Thank you.
Okay. So, moving forward with the next steps, in order to bring forward the general plan here in the proposal, we need to incorporate and reconcile the corresponding map principles and policies into a revised general plan proposal. The timeline for that would be roughly from October into December. We need to recirculate the draft environmental impact report. I mentioned that back in March of 2003, we circulated the draft environmental impact report. The proposal changed significantly from what was originally presented back in 2003, so we're obligated to bring that into consideration a new environmental impact report that looks at the revisions to the general plan proposal. And we're looking at a timeline of roughly completing that in March and releasing that to public comment. The County Planning Commission would hold public hearings on a general plan amendment proposal that would roughly occur in the March to April timeframe. So
probably
So March, April 2007 is when that was. So there's a member of the Planning Commission here who lived in Alton Branch, lived for many years, this is a Leslie Collier from the Alton County Planning Commission.
The County Planning Commission forwards a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and before the Board can act on a proposal for changing the general plan, we must issue the finding of NOI. They would then certify that environmental impact report, and then they are able to make a decision about changing the general plan. So that process is roughly in the June, July 2007 time period. There's a metric at the bottom here that indicates the opportunity for public comment. There are three specific points where there is formal public comment. The first is when the draft EIR is released. It's released for a 30-day comment and review period, sometimes it's longer. And at that point, the public has an opportunity to review the document and comment and submit those comments. There is also an opportunity to comment at the public hearing of the Planning Commission. And then finally, there is a public comment at the board hearing. So there are three specific points in the process where you will have opportunities to formally comment on any plan proposal.
Now, just to sum up, and we'll go down to questions and comments. Pat, can you go to the slide out about the five? I want to be really clear so that we can leave it out there. What are the five specific recommendations that you just be clear about? Because there's a lot of issues I think that are going to be addressed in the future at a different time. For example, if the recommendation is to create a C1 zoning district, what's not being done is creating what that T1 zoning district would all do. Specifically, that would be a separate process. An example is in the future, there would be a process in which the committee would express preferences to the types of business that it would want, or it doesn't want, or the size. I mean, those are the kind of things that are not part of this proposal. They would be part of a discussion about what the T1 zoning would be. It would be a different process focused on that.
So P1, it's a recommendation to proceed with enacting or creating a P1 zoning district. It could be several districts.
But not what the P1 zoning district would say.
Right.
So that would be really clear. And I think it allows us to customize the zoning districts for part of the development. Right?
In addition, a feature of it is that you can get very specific about the kind of uses that you want to allow, uses that you want to allow to permit, and those uses that you do not want.
Yeah, a good example, we actually have a separate ordinance that I did 2 years ago that requires that if you're going to open a liquor store, you need a conditional use permit. Believe it or not, it was a permitted use in a commercial district. And many cities passed policies that said you want to require a conditional use permit so you can decide whether you want it there and what conditions you will place. That's a perfect example of you could say, well, we want some uses, but we want them to be a conditional use if we want to set conditions on them. We don't want them to be an automatic way, for example. So that's something that would be done. That's the alcohol issue with a countywide issue, which is not very important. So that's the same one. Going back to the top, establishing the new mixed-use designation. And Pat, one thing to be clear, you're not looking at that for all of San Pablo Inner Road, for all of Avenue Way, but for a certain selected parcel.
Correct. It's largely driven by a couple of factors. One is the recommendations from the Municipal Advisory Council that have recommendations about where they'd like to see those things occur. And then also where we have looked at the land that's actually on the ground there, and it would be our judgment that there's not going to be very much in the way of change. For example, where you have a church, a school, a private school, apartment buildings, things that are fixed that have been there for many years, it's not likely they're going to turn over and the property is going to change. So we're not recommending placing the mixed-use designation in those locations.
Give an example where you would recommend placing the mixed-use designation.
Well, where you have a vacant parcel, it has sat for a long, long time, and that has a commercial use designation or a residential use designation, that would seem to be a strong candidate for a mixed-use designation.
So what it does is it gives the property owner, we'll finish it, then we'll take the question. It gives the property owner more options of how to develop their property. If you have a vacant piece of parcel that now you can only build a store on, you'll have the option that you can build a store, or you can do mixed use, you can have residential, let's say, and then you can have a commercial about that.
Right. And there have been landowners who I actually recommend tonight who contacted me, if you're interested in doing something different with your property than currently allowed. And so we were certainly looking at those landowners definitely interested in changing the land.
I think it'd be possible to look at that, but they will leave the 15th information about the property as opposed to the commercial set of things. So to give you more options. Incorporating the maps and principles and policies, that's this document. I think this is where we get into it. I don't think the intention is to incorporate this automatically in, but to have a discussion and understanding of what portions of this should be included, what makes sense, where they're consensus, to include some of these policies in the general plan.
As an example, the MAC is recommending a height limit of about 27 feet for Appian Bay. That's the one we have the current height limit, so we need to look at that question and get closer. It's 35 feet wide. So where we've got things where the density is coming down significantly, there's a recommendation about 8 units to the acre. We've got to look at that question closely. But it's reconciling some of the differences between what has been presented earlier in the Appalachian Transportation Land Use Plan, what the Shiraz identified, what the staff is coming up with. We've got to reconcile some of those differences.
And I think it's making clear updates the second concern area policies.
Yeah, so this is second concern area policies. If we can make changes and we describe, we've got to update those policies. Some of them are going to remain the same, others are going to have to change. And we'll have to go through those.
And the policies are on page 367 and 368.
That's correct.
And those are the existing policies. So they'll get reviewed and once I write down that,
this is a very good point to probably explain something procedurally we have to do. The general plan has to be an internally consistent document. You can't have one policy that's inconsistent with policy elsewhere in the general plan. So we've got to make sure that everything that's brought to the planning commission and ultimately to the board is internally consistent.
And finally, the two transportation changes are part of the proposal.
That's correct.
Taking the couplet out and then changing the policy so after the way it can't be four lanes, but two lanes plus the left turn.
Right. And there's some important reasons for that. The one obvious one is that some large question of whether those projects are already going to get built. But more particularly, what occurs in the regular course of the planning process is we establish, let's say, the project right on Appian Way or Gentile Dam Road. We establish setback requirements, which if you're developing the property, sometimes you have to set back the building to accommodate a future expansion or widening of the road. Well, we've been doing that over the course of the years, and our question is, how long are we going to keep doing that with the hope of someday building a roadway? It's not clear to us that that is imminent, and after all, it has been in the general plan for 26 years. So I think there's some big question as to whether those things are ever going to get built. So that's why we're recommending that if you're going to make changes, you need to change the roadway network map.
Okay, so we're going to do now. We're going to bring the easel up here. And by the way, just to say, I think there's been a lot of discussion over the years, and all of it, I think, has made this process better. There's more about incorporating. So what we're going to do is make it informal. You can either provide comments, or if you have a question that Patrick or someone will try to answer the question, and if there's a note, something needs to be noted, I think everyone, we're going to ask, just like at our Board of Supervisors meeting, like a 3-minute rule. You know, we have more time, we can go back. And again, a survey, everybody, fill out the survey now or whenever. We're doing another one of these on Saturday morning. We're going to do it 2 different times so that, you know, again, this gives you a chance to tell how you feel about each of these 5 different proposals. Okay, so with that, questions and comments. Yes. And if you want to say your name, you can, if not.
It's exactly opposite. You may know what a Hayward Fault is. I'm assuming it kind of just goes along the creek by Dam Road.
It actually goes on the East Bay Hills. It goes, you know where Maryland's Country Club is? It goes through there, and then cuts straight into San Pablo Bay. So it goes through there, straight into
San Pablo. Goes through across the San Pablo Dam Road to Union City.
Right, yeah. Which is you draw a line from the parallel to the Arlington and Nervous into San Pablo Bay. If we have a map, we can draw a line out.
Across San Pablo Dam Road?
Yeah.
That way where? That would be flat. It's the
Nervous
flat.
That would be a sea of San
Pablo. Right. Correct. I think
it goes through kind of Johnson College. Yeah. It goes through the UC Berkeley Memorial Stadium. It goes through a lot of hospitals. Remember, there's a hospital. You know for the hospital, it's like Boston. So
that,
yeah.
Okay.
Comments and questions?
Yeah. Can we have a group put into the next recommendations or... Can we change or make recommendations to the MAC committee? There's some things that are called undesirable.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we have had these people that some of the undesirable, particularly the automotive shops, have been represented at some of these meetings. So I have a large building that's been 1947. It's been moving to the type of building that it is. I can't tear it down and make something else. It is what it is. I have to rent it out to make a living. It's down on the Dam Road. We have a number of people here who have automotive shops. There's 2, 4, 5 people here tonight. We're all looking. That have auto shops. And I don't think we've been here putting our input in that we have a viable business, we do something good for the community, and we want that to really be taken out of there so that we can keep, you know, maybe if I can rent the building out, I may plan on doing some improvements to it. So maybe my street and don't want that. But we don't want to be somehow zoned out or that we cannot continue our building to do. Particularly when they've been in there for like 15 years.
And what we'll do is we'll each of these then we'll write on here to identify, and I think you raised a good point on clarification. Let me just mention, any of the land uses that are out there now are going to be, would be continued. One of the issues is if, let's say, let's say we don't want any more future automotive, the issue is more what happens in the future. So that the existing automotive facilities, I mean, again, if that's put in there, and you're commenting it shouldn't be, you're saying if it were, it would only be a prospective thing going forward. Right now, there's a conditional use permit requirement, and you know that the Board of Supervisors denied a new automotive use on Avenue Way because of the concentration of automotive use, and it was going to be right next door to an apartment and near residential. So the Board of Supervisors, on my recommendation, denied a new facility that would have been an automotive facility, would have been a very large one. So I think that's the question, I think, more that's being looked at is, should we allow new automotive uses? Because the ones that are there now have a right to continue. And, you know, one of the things we talk about is, should they have a right to, let's say, if you want to remodel, if you can expand it, we can include those things in there. So that's the point will be, when you think about this, what are the future uses that you want to encourage or not encourage?
So there's a guarantee on this rolling on the future thing. What if I buy another property next year and I want to change it to something? No, it's not that it's something. In this case, it happens to be a body shop. We're planning on putting an automotive shop in there.
If there's a land use permit attached to that property, we have to honor that land use permit for the property. So, unless you voluntarily agree to discontinue the operation, we have to honor the land use permit.
What are we talking about land use permit?
Then, if it's a permitted use, say? For example, the retail business district, the auto garage, auto body shop, virtually all of the districts requires a conditional use permit, which is what the supervisor was referring to. That the we're obligated to honor those. We cannot disregard them because it's a duly issued by the family. And so we have legal rights under that conditional use permit. If there is no use permit, then it's a different story.
What is it?
The different story is that the county, through the process, couldn't have changes that could limit
kinds of uses on it. But if you have a use on the title, then that use continues on that title because you're trying to change. Because let's say you have a market and you want to change the market to an auto body shop. If the new law says no more auto body shops, you could do it. But if you have an auto body shop already there, you can continue it. So the issue on any of these uses,
you have a change of ownership?
Sorry.
You have a change of ownership.
It runs with the land. Yeah. It's the rights run with the land. But I think these are all good questions, and I think, and that's why we haven't gotten to the point of those policies. Let me give you a perfect example right now. There's been a lot of issues. What else is there's legal conflicts about it? We're looking at a study. Marijuana dispensaries. Mm-hmm. The broad language of a commercial district doesn't deny them because they didn't allow all this broad range of business. So somebody opens one shop up, and we are now studying, we put a moratorium on any new shop while we study looking at whether we want to disband them in the future or allow them with a conditional use permit. That's an example of a new use that wasn't really contemplated, but is allowed under a counter some legal issues. And so without studying just that issue as to what to do, again, whether to allow it, not allow it, or allow it with a conditional use permit. Many jurisdictions, if they allow the conditional use permit, others don't allow. I don't know anyone can take that piece that you can have without a permit. So that's an example. But of a new use, you may say, well, we need an auto designation there with a conditional use per se, no new one. So that's sort of the best way to approach
it. And then on the part about the P1, it's important to understand that through the development of the P1 zoning system, which is a recommendation to pursue that, that's where you get down to the nuts and bolts, if you will, of block by block, what you want to see happen and what you not want to see happen. 5 years.
Yeah, I just
wanted to, again, talking about the auto-related businesses, it just seems that the majority of the businesses down Dam Road, the successful businesses, are auto-related businesses, and so just the whole idea of discouraging that type of business in the future. I'm just wondering, how do we go about doing that? And
I mean, it's a very new one. So that's the issue again, whether it's a very new one.
So there wouldn't be any pressure on the businesses that are there, nor would there be any pressure on, or we would have to disclose that we wanted to sell our business in the future.
Under the law, you would have the legal right to use your transfer ownership to keep the use there. And I think here's an example. Under the law, there may be issues happening if someone wants to. Let's say you have a 10,000 square foot auto body shop, and you want to expand it to 20,000 square feet. Now, under the law, if you ban new auto uses, there may be an issue. Unless you address the issue of the size, it may be that you may not be able to expand. So that's the issue we may want to take up. If there's a decision to not allow new ones, do we allow existing ones to expand? But that's a good question. We should put that up there to that goal of expansion of existing uses. I guess this is part of the balance for what the business community wants, what the community wants. I denied the one on the new one on Hackney Way because I didn't think it was appropriate next to a bunch of residential. If you're here to talk to people who live there, they didn't want it anymore. But if that's part of the balance of all of this, how do you make this work? And this is already, it could be any type of business. In this case, the auto, because of the nature of the auto. But you're right, on that Cavalier Road, then, they obviously good successful community businesses. But again, the question the math raises is whether to discourage future new ones.
Yeah. I'm just concerned about having to disclose that if I wanted to sell my business. I said, hey, you're buying my business, but I want you to know. They don't want you.
Well, just so you know, I think it's clear, you have to have the right part of the law. And if it's traded where it's going to use the name, that even if you disclose it, it doesn't impact your ability because they have a legal right. The one common issue on land use rights run with the land, not the owner.
I was listening and talking about the denial, I said, I'm not present, I'm saying denied my joy, I go to the place to do it. The first time, they approved my plan and everything, but finally they denied it.
So which, this is the, I'll
get here.
Yes.
So we'll call you here, I'll call you from here.
From, you were the applicant on Avenue A.
Yes.
You were the project we denied.
Yeah, the first time they approved my plan.
Well, yeah, it was a field process. We're the final. I'm elected and I'm the final. We're the final decision maker.
After 2.5 years,
right?
Signed.
Yeah.
We send the top of the top and lower.
Right.
And finally, they deny. I'm going to say, not for me. If I have my own, I work there. I will use the chairman. They are zero already. So, well,
you raised a good question, why does this need to be dealt with? If we don't want to allow them in the future in new uses, it's better to say no so you don't have to apply and get denied. Then you would know ahead of time. Instead, it's like it's a conditional use depending on the law, depending on the condition. And you're right, it was approved at one level and then it was appealed and it was denied. And so,
the office, please do not please appeal, say denied.
Well, it went from the zoning administrator to the county commission to the board of supervisors.
Well, the board of supervisors approved.
No, I'm on the board. You denied it. I'm on the board.
You denied it.
I do not remember you did. If we honestly don't want any new uses, and we don't take this issue up, we want to be clear about it so people don't come in and spend any money, apply, and then get denied. You have the right to deny them. But let's be clear about it ahead of time. That's the issue.
If one member is a member of the spring to you, when for the first time over the right line, they are told they don't want any more, and now they say no.
Right.
So the same money is for nothing.
Right.
You know, the spring to them over there is not easy to
make. Right.
But
you don't need to be really clear. What's really clear, your use wasn't a permitted use. If you come in and want to build a store that's a permitted use, you can do it. You need no approval. Your use was a conditional use, so when you went in, you know, it was like it's a risk, right? Do I get my use just going to be approved? And that's the issue. But most of the uses on the damn road, the shops that you see, they don't need use permits. They can just build it because they have a right to build it. Yours was different. I don't know what the other conditional uses are. What are the other uses?
Well, like in the retail business district, virtually all the audio care related uses are a land use permit. Things that basically retail business district is intended to be the display of goods transactions in the store. If you have something that is outside the store, you are going into the realm of the land use permit.
Well, another thing that's very important, when we go to the county to apply for any permit, we go and talk to somebody over there, and they really don't know what they're talking about. Because I go over there the first time, and I went there, oh, you don't need to allow me to permit for this, it's commercial. You can do whatever, you can do body shop, everything. After 2 months and 1 month again, if you have to pay $2,000 for the land use permit. So then, you know, change every time you talk to one person, each other is different. That's the problem.
Okay. Well, we'll note that to make sure the planners know what they're talking about.
Not going to happen. Never going
to
happen.
I don't believe we should spend a lot of time talking about the same issue time and time again. The existing business owners don't need to work. This gentleman knew in advance what he was getting into. He requested a change in use. He knew when he bought the property, it was not sold for all of the potential. You wanted to change the user, the group of students in hope it would pass. It did, in fact. The act was over. A lot of time and effort was spent, a lot of money, a lot of aggravation. I went to one of the hearings.
Another one is.
I want to make a public comment.
Sure.
Okay. I've been involved with this on the Office of Revenue Act since 2002, and I have, as soon as I came in and was elected, I found out there was a redevelopment plan, and I have fought it tooth and nail. It had the eminent domain provision in it. It's still out there. As soon as this general plan is changed, it can be brought back. It still has eminent domain in it. I would urge everybody on this survey form to vote strongly opposed on no further widening to APN Way, to strongly oppose the mixed use, especially strongly support.
You want APN Way to be
Forget number two. Number three, mixed use development. If that goes through, if all of these things that the county wants to do within this area goes through, we're going to have about 2,000 to 3,000 new people packed very tightly on Dam Road and APN Way.
Yeah,
I don't want that, okay? And I know a lot of people here didn't want it because they fought it tooth and nail during the redevelopment process, so I hope that you will say strongly opposed. Number four, the P1 planning district, I would hope that you would strongly oppose that, because those also tightly restrict anything that goes on within those areas. And also, I was there during the MAC guiding principles and policies meetings, and there are a lot of things that went on that are not in here. There was a consensus at one of the meetings that private property rights should be retained. That is not on this list. If you own property, you want to keep your private property rights. There's nothing here. You also see considered desirable medical marijuana dispensary. Is that what you want here?
No.
I certainly don't want. I recommended that we recognize the churches here. I go to church here, and there's a lot of churches along here. What's going to happen to these churches? They could be rezoned right out of here. You don't see that in there. But you see a lot of emphasis on bicycles. Who rides bicycles? I ride bicycle on trails.
Okay, but you know, most people go on trails. Okay, and there's a lot of emphasis. There's a lot of emphasis on and transportation on bicycles, but nothing on fixing the roads up. We need to get our roads fixed up. Also, I'd like to retain the nursery. Adachi will be zoned out. I'd like to retain that. And so, there's a lot of things that are going on here. Believe me, keep your eyes open, people.
Thank you. Barbara wanted to respond, I guess, on the math.
Yes. In the policy that we recommended for the all adult friends, we supported churches. And I think that was very clear in that one document. And I can go down here and find it, but we certainly support the churches. And as was said before, if a church is a current use, then nobody's trying to do away with that church. It's future development. And as far as widening APN Way, you know, it's already been said, we propose to keep it in two lanes. So I think a lot of the issues that are being raised, and there was another issue.
Well, you mentioned that, interesting, but I wasn't there. Under the marijuana dispensary is actually listed under undesirable, and then under desirable says question mark.
Well,
so I don't know what
okay,
that
and what that meant was that there were some people in the audience that felt, you know, it was desirable for those people who have medical needs obtained, and others felt it was undesirable. So that's the reason it's listed in both places and needs to be clarified.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I was there.
Was.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I don't remember.
Because we kept,
go to SaveAlphaBrandy.com and check out the audio.
But we tried to incorporate all of the comments from the audience, and these things were voted on by the full mat.
Let me make a comment about redevelopment that got raised. This plan is not addressing the issue of redevelopment at all. The redevelopment issue was put on hold. This is a zoning and general plan issue that is how do we want the zoning to look for El Cabrante. If the county wanted to pursue redevelopment, it would have to redo an EIR. Just so you know, the EIR that Patrick is talking about is only going to be updated for zoning and general plan issues. not for redevelopment. There's been no intention right now to move forward with having redevelopment. You know, if in the future, you know, if the community, the county, together want to do that, that's a separate issue. So the city of Richmond is going through a general plan review and process for the whole city. It already has redevelopment areas. It's not adding to that. It's just changing its zoning from areas that are within redevelopment and areas that are not in redevelopment. This plan is purely a zoning and general plan issue. It is not pursuing redevelopment. On the issue of mixed use, there are two issues I want to address. Private property rights. Mixed use actually gives you more private property rights because it then says you can develop, you have more options on how to develop your property, period. End of story. Very simple. It says you can do this or you can do this instead of only being able to do this. Now, how many, so the choice of whether to build residential is on the property owner, not on the county. That seems to be the hallmark of private enterprise in this country and private property rights. The property owner can say, that's what I want. However, how many units would that result in? I don't have, I guess that's the issue, which is key, an important one. Which parcel do you place that designation on? Do you say certain parcels, and then you figure out what, assuming everybody did it, what to build out, what, how many units per acre, and that's the kind of also analysis that you want to do if you look at what parcel. Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. As part of the environmental review, we'll look at that very issue of how many units would be, in theory, could be developed under that new mixed-use designation, and also the resulting trips that would be generated by that combination of commercial and residential taken together on one side.
I've got one more comment on this that I made at the MAC meeting. Desirable is thrift shops. You've got undesirable. I actually put that there, and you refused to put it on here.
I'm not on the MAC.
Well, she is.
You know what?
It's the consensus of the MAC.
Right.
And yeah, well,
MAC, you know,
is a consensus of the seven MAC voting members that are there. So if one of us does not agree with the other six, then you vote on it, and you go forward with that, just like you do in any business. If your management doesn't, you may not approve of every management principle that comes along, but it's up to you to support that.
In fact, what you should do, what everyone should do, is look at that list, tell us your comments on the survey. Which ones do you think? And you know what? There will be more public input through the whole process of, in fact, happy with the survey.
We're
not going to decide the specific list of what all these are right now. What we will look at is some general statements that reflect the community values of the kind of development, and one thing these are over people like the semi rural character built around it. That's one thing that, you know, that focus, some of that's already there. But there's a lot of times we look at these uses, sort of setting up the T1 zoning doesn't set up what the uses are. Merrill was right when she said it could result in more restrictions, and it could also result in more opportunities. And the restrictions may be we don't want certain types of things, or we prefer these types. Those are the things that will be in T1 zoning, but there will be a separate discussion afterwards on that. That's not going to be the decision that we make next summer. What we make next summer is whether to set up T1 zoning and then work with the community to decide and of what kinds of uses people would prefer to occur or not have. The ones that are on here are mostly they're not things that you look at what's listed as undesirable. And people will disagree or disagree on it. Drive to restaurants, sandwich board advertisements, big box chambers, thrift shops, pawn shops, adult porn shops, drug shops, medical marijuana dispensaries, tattoo parlors, automated businesses. Focus on those. I mean, I think we want to hear input about what people want, but it's not, those listed uses aren't going to be in the general plan.
Just one more thing about it sets up very clear standards, regulations by which you build something. The advantage for a landowner is that standards are very clearly defined. It can help streamline the permit process, because you know exactly what it is you're allowed to do.
But the key one will say that you need these standards for the local process to I want to make you take your hand up and call it.
Yes. What I would like to see, and I think I probably speak for others, is that I don't want to see an undeveloped El Sobrani. What we need to do is ask, do they have color coding that they have to stay within? I don't want a purple one and an orange one and a black one and a this and a that one. What we want to see is a newly developed El Sobrante, and if the median is going in on the Dam Road, I assume it is because I heard previously. But I don't want to have to go all the way down to Braley to turn around and come back and go to that side of the street. So what we need to have is a very nice looking to attract nice people that want to be here. And I feel that unless we do make statements to this effect, that we're going to have a conglomeration of garbage to look at and to beat them up. And I do not want that. I've lived here 44 years in the same place. So has my neighbor lady, a lot of past. I want to see it look wonderfully, beautifully, and encourage others to come in and not have all the traffic. We have plenty of traffic already on Apian Way and the Dam Road. So let's look at it as in a community, because that's what we still are, instead of wanting to be a town or city. That's ridiculous. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And let's pack it for you to answer the question about the media.
Okay. You can, the media was constant, came from the Shuret. Public Works, Ken Public Works, has been looking at that question of whether you can actually put median within the existing right-of-way of St. Palladium Road. It is possible, but there are serious trade-offs. And what will have to be decided ultimately by the community is what you're willing to trade off. And it's not a part of the general plan proposal. That is something that is going to require further investigation. It is an implementation matter. But generally speaking, it is something that is a series of trade-offs that everyone's going to have to review and discuss. You're going to have to come to a consensus on.
Well, actually, what it is now is very convenient, and I have yet to find out if there's been a lot of wrecks with people running into each other wanting to turn in the opposite direction. So why put a median in there if you're not having wet as it is now?
The two advantages of a median, two things that why the median would suggest, I think, through the shred. Generally speaking, the median helps to slow traffic down. It has effectively done that in many thoroughfares throughout the county. There's some good examples of that. It also creates a nice landscape area. But you're right, there are trade-offs. There are advantages and there are advantages. But that has all been made in determining ultimately about the
community. I think every time it's been discussed in the media, it's been about if there is a meeting, you would still have opportunities for left turns along the way. You just wouldn't be able to turn left anywhere you wanted.
That's what I was asking. I don't want to be...
an opportunity.
Yeah.
That would be part of the process if that was explored. Where would you place those at a way that provides the best benefit?
Because making a U-E might not be very...
it would be more likely taking left turns at whatever the right places are and where those are. But so you wouldn't say you have this whole stretch and no places to turn left. Mm-hmm. You would have some... But right now, you can turn left wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is the
Dam Road
wide enough? The parking to have a meeting?
Well, that's part of the issue. Is whether you have sufficient area to accommodate the on-street parking, to accommodate the left turn movement, to actually have a Those things are truly need to be looked at closely, and then ultimately there has to be consensus by the community as to whether or not you want to do it. And then we've got to look for the place.
One of the things, there is some money that's been identified in the Medicaid,
the
impact measure.
What's
something else I'm looking at?
Well, there's a NTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, has a fund source that can be used for certain kinds of capital projects like this.
So there are some funding mechanisms to do, one of the issues to do improvements on the dam road, which we all want to do some type of improvement. The question is, what's the best range of them? And there is some money in the sales tax measure for transportation, and then the Metropolitan Transportation Commission has some funds to apply for.
Years ago, I remember the working thing with the founder of the Town Conference Association, and we had a big fight with the county who wanted to put turn lanes all the way down to the dam road. And we found out that we didn't have parking for those who just had third parking. It got too narrow. And a lot of people had off-street parking. That's wonderful for those folks, but there were certain people who did not have off-street parking. You had to park right on the street. And if everybody makes that a lane, the traffic would be right alongside the sidewalk. Right in front of my particular building, it's only about 30 feet wide, and there's really no room for a turn. So the turn place there, you can't put it there because you would be right to get a straight apartment in order to allow the space for the moving grade. So that was spot out a lot of long time ago. And then finally, they set a compromise and they had turnout lanes in certain areas and no turnout lanes in other areas. That's how it's really set a compromise.
And the median is not an issue that exists in this plan, but it's something that is out there and there's an interest. I think that's clearly something that I think there will be further discussion.
I guess the one question when you're talking about multiple use on mixed use on a specific property, I'm assuming that if somebody wants to put his roofing business with his hot tar part and his corporate yard in his front yard, that wouldn't be considered good mixed use or allowable.
Well, commercial use is typically retail personal services. A roofing business that sounds like a contractor's yard. Contractor's yard requires a land use permit, typically in most zoning districts.
So that's
an issue that is an example of where when you start getting the C1 zoning district, you've got to go through that list that the supervisor was running through and define which ones you want to allow through a land use permit or not allow in that zoning district.
So yeah, it felt like that's probably not one that's going to end up on the list of wanting to have that use in residential and things. So, I mean, you know, more the kinds of things that are retail businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Well, that would make sense.
And again, it becomes the property owner's choice to do that.
For retail.
To do that. But there would be limit. Obviously, it has to be retail, right?
Not and the neighbors would get an input on it.
Right.
There's a difference.
Like, I want to make sure we hear from other folks too.
So there's a difference between retail and commercial. You know, commercial, when I started at my father started it, it was 3 years ago. They had a commercial laundry there. They had 55 people working in there. We all found parking around the country. And that was almost a light industrial type of thing. We did John Muir Hospital, Brookside Hospital, down there with Rock. We did all along in Brookside Hospital, all laundry businesses there. So that was almost a high industrial area for my building. My building sort of built for that.
Right.
There's no off-street parking. Whatever I used it for, I couldn't really have parking in front of my building. It's going to have to be something you park inside of it or up the side of some of my other buildings or something like that. So retail would never be in the there's no place where somebody would park and go ahead and buy a car.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether not every site's going to have that mixed use designation, too, right?
Right, and then you know, part of what is part of the MAPS recommendation, but it's been part of the recommendation for the downtown transportation land use plan and the SHRP process is you've got situations, not fairly common in El Sponte, where you've got lots that are pretty small size, but if they are merged together with another lot, you've got a better development footprint to work from. That would be an instance where you may want to encourage or allow for the possibility of mixed development.
And some folks, you know, own several lots together, others may want to get together.
Are we talking about apartments or homes or whatever being built on top of the retail?
I would say to suggest that that road, talking about some of the positive aspects of mixed use, because I think everyone has a different idea of what you're talking about. And we have one definition from Maryland that we have nothing to show what
our size is at. Well, simply stated, mixed use means that you are combining commercial and residential together on one side. The advantages that it creates is that there have been studies to document when you have a district or area that has been set aside for mixed use, you have reduced amounts of auto tripping. The people typically who live in those units above, either shopping in the area, they're not driving their car as much, you're not, so they're not creating impacts on air quality, they're not causing congestion, etc. It also is a great base for many retail businesses or other commercial uses for customers. It helps build the customer base.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, is positive side of mixed use. Really, I'm in the building business, I haven't for a long time, and I don't know how many buildings are in the building. But really the only viable thing you can have, if you ban apartment house, for example, I think that would be part of this new building. But if you do that, then it's the only thing that's left still very low income affordable housing.
I'm not sure, though, that mixed use would be low income. It's a
it's the only thing you left us.
Right.
And what you do have the option of doing is the board can require that through as much as 20% of the housing units that are built are in that category. Now, if anybody knows some of the high school kids that recently graduated, they can't afford rent. So where are they supposed to live? And that's exactly.
Not in the Bay Area.
So maybe it's like the difference. I mean, you may have a single family home that you build yourself for $600,000, and maybe you get a multifamily unit for $450,000, right? But like it ends up being affordable by that scale.
I think you should explain why you're going at this with respect to land use element and transportation element. Because in the past, traditionally, they were sort of approached in a parallel track, and you're putting off, at least for some period of time, the transportation element, it seems, and I've heard, in order to get a better idea of what the land use issues are going to be, so that you can tailor your transportation study to that. Is that correct?
Well, in order for us to do the traffic analysis, we have to have the theoretical capacity for the
So when you create a new mixed-use designation, you have to create the potential for development within that designation. We need to have that number to do the analysis of the impact that that would have on the road system.
Now, I heard something earlier, I just walked in the room a little late, but I don't know if you can be able to start what a lot of jurisdictions are doing, they're progressive in this way, is they are incorporating health and safety research studies into, you know, this sort of new zoning general planning process. And particularly because of the amount of weight of the evidence, they're mostly looking at, I mean, obviously, we've got a viable bicycle lobbying effort involved. We've got, you know, obviously, we've got school kids in the community, so we're going to look at the pedestrian issues and bike pollution. But the air pollution situation is the prime drive behind that health service study.
Yes.
And you really need to look at and study seriously what the air pollution impacts really are expected to be with respect to land use element and with developed as a sort of communication.
And you know, we have Nancy here who can, this sort of, it's a good segue into her comments because she's with the health department and is involved with a lot of the countywide efforts. She is in this as well. Health countywide efforts on some of these studies, maybe just to start with you.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that I would thank you, Rick, for the segue. My name is Nancy Baer, and I do work for Health Services of Earl, and I nominated a fellow woodworker. and several years ago, I facilitated a series of workshops here in El Cabrante around traffic issues. And at that time, we did a mapping of bicycle and pedestrian collisions along San Pablo Dam Road and Appian Way. And we identified three hotspot areas where those types of collisions were more frequent than others. And we've just this last year done another round of mapping, and the collision hotspots are the same, and they're right down here where Appian Way and San Pablo Dam Road come together. They're up at the triangle where Valley View and Appian come together, and then they're further up Appian Way. Well, that sounds suspiciously like mine. That's true. Sorry about that. Nobody ever calls me, so I don't worry about turning it off. So I have a new map of the pedestrian collision hotspots in El Cabrante. That being said, I'm really glad to see in these documents the emphasis on walking and bicycling. Those of us in the health department really want to encourage that. I'm glad to see the reduction, proposed reduction in lanes from a four lane going through the middle of El Cabrante. And I would just ask that as changes are considered, that pedestrian issue be kept in mind. There are lots of good ways that communities are learning to make traffic run smoothly and also make the community very walkable. But it's tricky, and it does have to have the kind of thought that Pat has referred to in terms of trade-offs. So I just wanted to raise that issue for consideration. The air issue is not my area of expertise, but we in the health department are very concerned about the addition of more traffic in West Contra County because of the very high asthma rate. So there's an appropriate time I can ask someone with that expertise to come to me.
And it has the environmental impact report will do an air quality, will look at air quality impact from any potential development. Another thing, as of next month, I'm going to be on the Bay Area Quality Management District Board, which is the regional board of the Bay Area. And one of the things the Air Board is doing is looking at the issues that affect us during the left diesel emission. Because actually, and those tend to occur just to properties that are nearby. It's been an issue with development in North Richmond and the Richmond Parkway, where some housing projects very near the parkway have had to be set back a little bit because diesel emissions drop off quickly, but if they're very close, the diesel emissions can have an impact. So there's now issues about studies on it. You don't have that as much here on the Dam Road, you don't have it significant truck traffic. Although there may be for a while for the site of upgrade truck, you know, Houston must be doing the dam. But I know for a period of a year or so there's going to be more truck traffic there.
Thank you. So that's my opinion. There's some good stuff, but there are some good studies. And now there's some pitfalls. And you are very aware of this and so far attending that. The people that live in my neighborhood are our concern.
Say where you live to this folks now.
I live in the Hilltop Drive area, which is an extension of the neighborhood. And Hilltop Drive is an arterial, which is covered in the current general plan. and the advanced transportation planning for arterial in El Cerrone particularly affects Hilltop Drive because of the traffic engineer for the county stated in the last report, this is the most heavily impacted roadway in the area. And the reason is because the vehicle counts during commute on Hilltop Drive are the same in terms of per lane as Van Hattel Dam Road during the you ever come home off the freeway up on Hilltop to America. The air pollution that we're getting up there is a danger to pedestrians, especially after dark in the wintertime. There's no way to ride a bike up there except on the path that is built up there. We've had an increase. We've never had bike students up there. In the last 4 years, we've had 5 or 6. And it's because people more and more are using our neighborhood as a bypass for the San Hadley Dam Road. And we've got to find a way in the process, John, to study the whole community, the impact with respect to health, safety, pedestrian bike, on the whole community this plan is going to have. We already know that Hilltop Drive is being used as a culprit, if you will, because it's already there. So. And what's going to happen when the speed on the Dam Road is reduced? Where are those people going to go? They're going to come right up to Hilltop and have even more cars there. Our property value on Hilltop Drive and Peter Street, La Paloma, Pebble, and Renfrew, and Manor Road has already dropped significantly, not just because of the recession in the housing industry. You have city appraisers. They will tell you. Your house suffers a 10% loss in value because of the lease rate. It's right on your appraisal.
And one of the issues is, you know, there's been some additional expenses. We've noticed that comment too. And you raise that, you know, you've been a good advocate for that whole issue. And one of the things I know in some of the traffic studies that Public Works did, one thing we know for certain is that even if you do nothing, if you keep the current zoning, and you just have the normal build out over the next 20 years from that, San Pablo Dam Road is going to get a lot worse than it is today, and people are going to continue to search for other ways. So the question becomes, what is the additional impact of any changes in the land use plan, including any new development? What are the trade offs and benefits, possibly address those issues?
Right. The proposal is up to the state, reduce circulation on San Pablo Dam Road as a matter of fact. They do not increase the and they increase the circulation on Hilltop Drive because you're keeping the current right of way on the Dam Road at 80 feet and increasing it on Hilltop Drive to 80 feet. Where currently it's only about 25 feet.
The normal build out over the next 20 years, given current circumstances of doing nothing, there'll be a lot more traffic on the Dam Road just because of
About what was happening to the Dam Road and the small businesses. I've been in business for 30 years, okay? Many of you knew Bob Sharp and Bob loved this community. So he started to get a group of business people together who were concerned about the future of Delta Grande. It was simple as that. I'm so tired of hearing about scare tactics. We can't stay the same. We have to improve ourselves. We have to move forward. It's progress. It just can't go backwards or stay the same and do nothing. I was happy to hear Pat and John explain to all the body owners here that I think you're safe. You know, I don't think you have to be frightened that someone's going to take your family business away. You have a right to run your business the way you run it. I just want to see El Cerrone become beautiful, attractive, okay? As simple as that. But without sounding corny, I just have to read you a couple of paragraphs. And this was written in 1999 by Bob Sharp, and we all concurred, and this was our dream. Many of us have a dream of the downtown El Sobrante as a friendly place where people and activities blend in relaxed ways to form a successful and interesting business district. This is the whole purpose of Ninth Grade Retreat, to help the businesses, the small mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. Today, this is in 1999, many commercial areas are attempting to achieve this goal. Certainly, our neighbors from Albany to Crockett are hard at work changing their downtowns into the same dream, and we are lagging behind. Other business districts have discovered that a successful downtown is a mixture of uses, retail services, professional office space, housing, etc., etc. A true downtown provides our people with these oriented amenities. Several factors seem to energize this move for downtown. People, not automobiles, make the purchases to create a successful commercial center. Sprawl developments tend to create a loss of identity. That's when we were worried about the big shopping malls coming in, you know, Hilltop and all of them. Demographics are changing in our El Sobrante Valley. An increasing number of seniors, single adults, as well as young people and families are seeking the pleasures and conveniences of our downtown and a downtown close to their home and pedestrian friendly. A people-oriented downtown unifies neighborhoods, develops friendships, creates a sense of community, and integrates the entire valley, young and old. Our business district, of which we would mostly concerned about, are an integral part of our valley, and we must not lose sight of a goal that envisions an El Sobrante that moves competitively into the 21st century. And we all agree with that, and I think it was great letter that you wrote. We have to go forward. Without sacrificing, you know, business and whatever.
I think the definitive thing for the Down Road is that you need to either transportation money to drive or to pay for controlling parking spots on the Down Road so that you can have parking lots. And by doing that, eliminate all parking on the Down Road. That way you can have a 36 wide bike lane. You can have your median strip, and you can have four lanes of traffic. But to do that, you have to actually get the county to drive the
traffic into
They've got a great business going on in downtown Concord. I mean, their business just exploded because you can actually drive in, park, walk over, really comfortable, nice sidewalk.
That's and in past discussion is this idea of exploring where you can combine parking lots to make it easier for the businesses.
But you got to get the transportation authority to pay those property owners to do that. Do the project.
That's being on the list on here. Yeah. People are trying to ask. So I want to make sure I'm here. Yeah.
I want to know if you have an environmental concern for people living in the creek.
If we have anything on that. And you know what, your office is more about
yes.
And I don't know if anyone was at the last meeting that we had at the boys club where I asked the sheriff about this, and he told me that, well, we can't really do anything about it. In fact, we don't have somebody to send it. That's another issue about beautifying downtown. Maybe we can clean up some of the trash. The other issue I have is I have code enforcement. So that's code
So I don't really see the issue here that I'm hearing with your mixed use is I think there's people who are concerned that one, that you're going to force them to change their property, which I'm hearing you say, no, you're not. And the other thing is traffic issues. Okay, so on the traffic issues, do the people who use that type of housing, do they even have cars? Because my thing that I've heard is the people who use that type of housing are people who don't drive.
Well, my understanding is they have cars, but they may not use the car as much if they're walking to a store nearby.
Well, I understand how that will develop. Those people will use the businesses in the downtown area. But is there any study on that to say, well, these people use their cars or they don't use their cars? I know several older people who don't drive and live in apartments. And they're, that's kind of an issue I think maybe that would be something that has to be involved in that. Because traffic is the main issue, I think, which I don't think people, because I think if you have mixed use there, people look.
There is housing right behind right behind Dan Road. You can say there are some houses very close by.
I live right across from the library, and I came home here to sitting up the street. There was some guy walked down with the coat hanging there, and he pushed it that guy to creep on fire. Because there's no stove down there, but that's pretty dangerous. And one of them kicked a hole through my fence because it had put up. And years ago, the little building behind the library, which has been multiple weeks, somebody at the Cola Church, and they're living behind there, they opened up a PCD gas thing, and I just still get out and look around there, turn my phone PCD, and not put a bullet up the damn library. And they just messed up, they fired up me to get to it. But it's not so much that they got no business.
And I think, again, code enforcement, law enforcement issues. Is there anyone who wants to speak, if people want to make any comments or questions?
I just have one quick question.
And we meet Saturday again, so for folks who
So, you talk about retail down below, residential, and that these people are going to use the local business to serve the markets and whatnot. And then my
part
says that, maybe some of them don't drive. But a good majority of them are going to have to drive.
Yeah.
They got to pay the mortgage on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That $700,000 dwelling you're living in up above their retail.
Right.
They got to go to their job.
Right.
How are they going to get to their job?
Well,
their
the best service goes by and
Environmental Impact Report is going to look at, try to figure out if there's a certain number, what's the range of units that should be built on the new certain location, and then measure what the traffic impact from those units would be. Okay, so that would be an environmental impact report.
Yeah,
they assume that people drive to work. You're right. And so that the EIR will take that into consideration. That they're going, even people who live in the damn road, if they're working there, they're drive to the ground. So EIR will be recommending them, and that will all be around. I don't know what the range of units is, that depends on how many lots you put a mixed use designation on. Mike, and then, we'll take one more question, and then we can wrap up in the next step.
This is a suggestion of. At all future meetings, you should have a audio system and audio mic.
Okay. All right. Well, take a look at that.
You didn't hear me? Thank you.
Which
document? The blue?
No. The white.
Why?
Yeah.
Thank you.